Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
Good morning again, and welcome to the house of the Lord. If you'll please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And if you are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You may be seated this morning. So as we continue here in the book of Galatians, let's talk briefly about what we discussed last time we just talked about Galatians. We were looking, of course, at Galatians chapter 4, and Paul is continuing to talk about the Judaizers and their attempt to kind of infiltrate the ranks of the Gentile believers here in the churches of Galatia. And they, of course, as if you guys recall, they're trying to convince these Gentiles to convert to Judaism and to be circumcised and to be obedient to the law and the traditions of the Jews. And Paul is combating that because ultimately there's a nefarious motive of these Judaizers to actually hurt these Gentile believers and to hinder their walk with Christ. They are false. These Judaizers were Jews who were false teachers, who had motives that were not pure. And so Paul has been combating that here, and he continues to combat that in chapter 5. He's been contrasting, if you'll recall, the law versus the promise that was made to Abraham and how the law is not perfect, and that the law was meant only to serve as our tutor, to show us how far we fall from God's standard, that our righteousness is so filthy in the sight of God, that the only hope that we have to be reconciled to God, to be redeemed, is through the death of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and faith in him alone. There's no amount of good deeds, there's no actions that we can take to make us worthy of God's love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. It is a gift of God, as Paul writes, that so that no man can ever boast that they earned it or that they deserved it. It is a free gift. So here in verse chapter 5 of verse 1, he tells them to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So he's telling them, hold fast to what you've been taught. Again, do not give in to the false teaching of these false teachers, these Jews, these Judaizers, who are trying to deceive you, but stand fast in what I taught you when I was there with you. Stand fast in what I have revealed thus far in this letter, because Christ made us free, made you and I free. And so he says, don't willingly entangle yourself again in bondage. And the bondage here, of course, being bound to the law, to strive to earn one's salvation through being obedient to specific acts, or being good enough, or trying to be righteous enough. That's all that is a bondage to you and I, because the realization again with the gospel is that nothing we do could ever be good enough to save us, to redeem us. As we talked about last week, if you're guilty of one aspect of the law, you are guilty, and I am guilty of all of it. And what is the wages of sin? Death. God gave that edict all the way back in the Garden of Eden, where he said, if you eat on the day that you eat of the tree of life, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And in that moment, mankind and the earth was cursed so that they began to decay, and they would not no longer live forever, and they would experience death. That's why Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, so that they couldn't eat of the tree of life. So now they would have to experience death, and not just physical death, but also they experienced spiritual death, that separation from God, right? Up until that time, God walked with them in the cool of the day. They had an intimate relationship with God like you and I can't possibly fathom until we get to heaven. But when they sinned and they rebelled against him, they were now separated from God and spiritually dead for all intents and purposes. And so Paul says, don't become bound again to the bondage of trying to be good enough, to be obedient enough. The law cannot save you. Verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. He's saying if you turn away, and even though you've professed Christ as Lord and Savior, if you turn away and become circumcised, right? You are now questioning the salvation that was provided through Christ's death and resurrection and through faith alone. And so therefore, his death will be profit you nothing. There is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no reconciliation. There is no redemption. Because you have not trusted Christ for your salvation, you have been deceived to believe that something else is required. Verse 3, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Paul said this earlier in Galatians, where he talked about that the law, anyone who did not obey the law was cursed, right? And so he's saying here that if you decide to, you're going to be circumcised, now you don't only have to be circumcised, but to be saved, you have to keep every tenet of the law, which of course was impossible. And the fact that they had already broken the tenets of the law, it was impossible for them to be properly redeemed. And so they would be cursed if they turned to obedience to the law, the traditions of man to be saved, they were lost. There was no hope for them. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, there are commentators. There are two views of this particular verse. The first is that those who chose to be circumcised and to follow after the teaching of the Judaizers, that was evidence that they were never saved in the first place, right? Because they were so easily deceived and because they so easily turned from Christ and they chose to follow after this false teaching and to be circumcised, that they were never true believers to begin with. The other view here is that they actually, made that decision and they consciously separated themselves from God, right? And they were estranged from him, as Paul writes. And so they now were not in a right relationship with God. And some would, as lots of churches use that word, backslid, right? There's a lot of folks that believe in backsliding and they like to practice it. Right? That's the old adage. But the truth is that, most likely they didn't know Christ to begin with and they were deceived, right? That they were not saved to begin with, and that's why they were so easily deceived. Now, even though they were circumcised, I do believe that if they were to repent right? If the Holy Spirit would have pricked their heart, they could be forgiven and saved. But, you know, the truth is, as long as they were chasing after the law to save them, grace and faith would do nothing for them. Because you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved apart from faith alone, faith in Jesus Christ. Any other method doesn't work. And so, so Paul is again reiterating that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, right? And as we've spoken over and over again through this series, do not be deceived that when people say there is more than one way to be restored in our relationship to God, to be restored to God, there's only one. It is meant to be exclusive, right? That's why the Bible says that you've got the wide road and the narrow road. The wide road is easy. It's like a slip and slide. Go and slide on down. Carried by your own momentum, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But the narrow road is like going, you know, the parent that said they had to walk to school uphill both ways, right? That narrow, tough road. And that's why not everybody takes it. It is exclusive. Not everybody is called to make that trip. It's hard. It's not easy. It requires a power inside of us that doesn't come from us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Christianity, but to the dismay of the world, is exclusive. Right? It is a members-only club. Now, the great thing about God is Jesus came to die for everyone.
Right. Yeah.
So your membership card only requires you to confess Christ as Lord and believe that he is risen from the dead.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not like it's hard. You don't even have to pay dues. You just gotta make Christ Lord of your life and have faith that he is who he said he is and did what he said he did, and you're saved. So folks that get all torn up and all upset that, you know, that we state that there's only one way to God, the truth is even if you paid them to go after Christ, they wouldn't do it. Because it's not really what they're looking for. They just want to continue to live however they want to live in their sin. Most of those folks that claim that there's more than one way to God, they're not trying to serve any God. They're not following any way. They're just trying to use excuses. But the truth of the matter is, if anyone ever tries to sell you and tell you that there is a way to God beyond Christ, there isn't. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And so you and I, through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, through the drawing of the Holy Spirit in us, we are waiting for the righteousness, the hope of the righteousness of faith, right? So it is through the Holy Spirit that draws us. And the truth is that we'll never understand the reality of true righteousness till we get to heaven. Right now, we have the righteousness of Christ that is applied to our lives so that God sees Christ's righteousness and not our own, because mine is nothing but filthy rags. I am an evil person, a sinful person that's done a lot of wrong. My robes are tattered, but when God looks at me because of Jesus Christ, he sees Christ's righteousness, not my righteousness. But I won't fully understand what that means to be have that glorified body, to be in God's presence all the time, like in heaven, until he comes again and until he calls us home. Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So bottom line is, you could be circumcised, you could be uncircumcised, you could follow path A or path B, but without Christ, you're nothing. Without Christ, we're lost. So no matter how good the promise is to make it and to be reconciled to God, to have a relationship with God, if it doesn't include Christ, we're lost. Whether it's a lot of effort to be circumcised or no effort at all to be uncircumcised, right? If it doesn't include Christ, then it's hopeless. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, you ran well who hindered you from obeying the truth. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. So he's saying, look, this is not from God. These individuals who are coming to you and who are trying to deceive you, they are not from God. This is not from God. So even though they're saying they are coming and representing God, and they are claiming that their message is from God, they are not. Listen, God doesn't operate in confusion. Amen. So Paul couldn't be right, and these people be right. It was one or the other. Their messages were opposed to one another. So there was no happy medium between the two. Either Paul was right or they were right, right? And Paul wanted them to know that their message didn't come from God. Well, if it didn't come from God, who could it come from? What's the thing that he was inferring? It came from Satan. So the inference here is if it didn't come from God, it came from somewhere else, and that somewhere else is the devil. And of course, that's all of those false teachings and false religions. They all start with the enemy. Again, all false religions were planted by Satan. All of them, everything that is not not based around the gospel of Christ, they're false, and they were derived by Satan because, listen, Satan's had millennia to come up with his plan, and he knew God in heaven. He knows man, and so he knows how to deceive man. And so he planted into the hearts of men to seek answers from someone or something other than God, and he deceived them. But the reason they were so easily deceived is it starts with they wanted to know more. They knew something was missing. They wanted something, and so Satan gave it to them. Now, in our day and age, it's gotten to the point, you know, we're secular humanists where, you know, everyone is an atheist or an agnostic, and, you know, God doesn't exist, or God simply doesn't care, and he's not worth knowing, which is essentially the agnostic view. You know, we don't need God. But while they have tried to reason God out, they've made other things God in their lives. They've been deceived. Because we all are born to worship something. All of us. We are made to worship something. If you stop and really think about it, we're all seeking something to give us fulfillment. Right? All of us are. And now we were created for that to be met through Christ, through God, a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve messed that all up, right? Which is why Christ had to come, why Jesus came, so that he could clean all that up, fix it all. Mm-hmm. And we could have that relationship with God and not have any intermediary between us and God, you know, no human priest and no sacrificial system. Man messed it up, but that didn't stop the hole that man had in them, which was that desire for fulfillment from something else. And so men chase the God of money, and they chase the God of drugs, and they chase the God of alcohol, and they chase the God of promiscuous lifestyles and relationships. They chase all of these things, finding out that none of them provide any permanent satisfaction. It's all temporary. That's why people become desensitized, and so they've got to keep expanding their horizons, right? And so they go from just needing a little bit of money to more money to more money, to just wanting a big house to wanting a bigger house to wanting, because they just need to keep feeding that desire to be fulfilled. But it is a black hole without Christ. Yeah. Without God, you just keep feeding it, and it disappears, and you need more. Right. And that is so evident in our world today. Right. People that you and I look at and go, wow, they are blessed beyond measure. I wish I just had a fraction of what they had. They're still hungry, needing fulfillment, whether it's more zeros in their bank account or it's more possessions or it's more women or it's more men or it's more adulation and praise. Right? They need more and more and more. But God was meant to be that fulfillment, so that if you have nothing material, if you have no reputation, if no one knows our name, we don't have any money, we live on the street, we have nothing that we can call our own, we have no praise, we get no praise, no recognition from anyone in the world, guess what? We still have God. And God is all we need.
That's right.
Right? And that's what it all boils down to. Verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Very quoted part of scripture. Leaven, of course, does what? What does leaven do? Raises bread, right? It's yeast. Mm-hmm. You put a little yeast in something, it's in the whole thing. And it, what does leaven do? Leaven multiplies. It feeds. It's a fungus, right? Isn't leaven a fungus? It's yeast. And so it just eats on whatever you feed it, right? You put leaven in something, it just multiplies, and that's what causes the gases as it eats away at your loaf of bread is what causes it to rise, all those byproducts, right? So once you put a little leaven in, that whole thing's leaven. There's leaven in there, there's yeast in there. The whole thing is compromised with yeast. Now, me, I like a little yeast, right? I like me a nice loaf of bread, and I like cakes that are nice and raised, and right, put more yeast the better, right? Whatever makes it taste good. I'm not a big fan of flat bread. If you don't put leaven in it, then it's not compromised. And so you don't get that reaction. So if you put a little leaven in, then it leavens the whole lump. You can't isolate it. You can't separate it. If it's there, it's compromised. And so if we allow a little bit of false teaching in our lives, well, we've compromised everything. Right? If we allow a little bit of anything that goes against the gospel of Christ, justification by faith, salvation by faith alone, anything, any little thing that contradicts that into our lives, and we begin to believe it and apply it, we've leavened our lump of bread, our dough. And once you leaven it, it's leavened. Right? We have to be careful we steer clear of false doctrine, false teaching, because it will, it can consume us. Verse 10, I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. So Paul says, look, I have confidence that those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, that you're not going to be deceived. If you started listening, you're not going to ultimately be deceived, right? You're going to cut them out, right? And not only that, I have confidence that those who are deceiving are going to be judged by God. Whether that is here on earth, that they would be judged, or whether it is in the afterlife where they spend eternity in hell, right? They would be judged by God. Anyone that, if you're deceiving God's children as a false teacher or a false prophet, preaching a message that is not Jesus Christ, there's a problem and there will be judgment for you and for me. And so he says, I'm confident that there'll be judgment, whoever they are. So no matter who they claim to be, even Paul said, right, if I came and preached another gospel, let me be cut off. Cast, right? Don't listen to me, right? Because it didn't matter what their name was. It doesn't matter how they started. It doesn't matter who they said they represented. Whoever it was, no matter how popular they were, whatever, if they preached a different gospel, or introduce anything beyond justification by faith alone and the cross, then they were going to be judged. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? He says, if I was preaching circumcision, then why are these jokers still persecuting me? Because I would be going along with what they're saying. So if they ever said to them, well, Paul agrees with us, which is interesting, all of their different tactics, because remember, they called Paul a liar. They questioned his integrity, right? He's battled that in his letter here in Galatians. And if, this dude that tried the tactic of saying, well, Paul agrees with us, right? He said, if I agreed with them and I was preaching circumcision, why in the world are they attacking me every chance they get, right? They contradict each other. Okay, so he says, then the offense of the cross has ceased. So he says, meaning that that means that the what happened on Calvary and the death of Christ, right? Then if he was preaching circumcision, then the cross had no purpose. Verse 12, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Now, Paul gets a little graphic here because that word means mutilate. And what Paul is saying is that these liars, there were religions, false religions at this time, where the eunuchs, well, they became eunuchs because you guys know how someone becomes a eunuch, right? And that's how they honored and became a priest in their religion, right? And they honored their false god. So Paul says, look, these guys are no better than those. Why don't they not just get circumcised? Cut the whole thing off. I mean, it's vulgar, but it also gets the point across. You guys are looking down upon these eunuchs and these other religions, these priests, right? Serving these false gods. They're no better. These folks are no better than them. I wish that they would just go ahead and go the whole way, commit to their false teaching, their lies, like these other false teachers and liars, and just go ahead and, you know, cut it off. Verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So he says, you guys, again, are called to freedom in Christ. And don't use that freedom to to hinder others, to bind others. So don't use your freedom in Christ to have control over people, to deceive people, anything like that. Paul talks a bit about that also in the book of, in his letter to the Corinthians, as well in terms of, you know, being careful to not try to influence others and control them because of what your freedom. So in the book of Corinthians, he's specifically talking about people who are convicted of eating food offered to idols and things of that nature, that you and I are not in our liberty because we are free from that, convince them to do it, what they feel guilt over. So he's saying, you know, don't use that liberty that you have to be an opportunity in the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So don't, in your freedom, cause others to sin. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So Paul says, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, do not consume one another with infighting. Do not consume one another. Do not destroy what God created through fighting and infighting about who's right. The Judaizers or Paul. The law or the promise. Works or faith. Because right now, because you're wavering and there's division, you're destroying what God created and the work that he was doing there in Galatia. The Galatian churches. And so he's saying, stop it. Stop the fighting. And the source of the contention was these Jews. So the best way to stop it was to get rid of them. Cast them out. Don't entertain them anymore. The best way for you and I to stop the influence of false teachers in our lives is to disassociate ourselves with them. Don't be one of those people that says, well, I'll just listen to the good and spit the bad out. Because the truth is, over time, you will be desensitized to the bad. And so we are to disassociate ourselves from false teachers, individuals who are teaching a lie, and just not even entertain them. Right? That means don't go eat at their houses. Right? Don't have them as your best friends. And I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about people who are actively attacking the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they are actively spreading a message against God's word, you pray for them, you love on them, you interact with them if you see them, but you don't go out of your way to entertain them. Right? You disassociate yourself from them so that they're not impacting you and they're not impacting your family and your friends. Right, it's better for them to move on than to hang out. And so that's what you and I do, because if we don't, we will, God, the enemy can destroy what God has been building through infighting and disagreements. Them saying, well, I believe this guy, and them saying, well, I believe this guy. In fact, Paul addresses that in the book of Corinthians as well, because there were divisions among them. It said some were following after Apollos, some were following after Peter, some were following after Paul. And Paul said, no, that's not how it's supposed to be. Don't let there be divisions following after leaders and sects. Mm-hmm. Who are we following after? Christ. Your relationship with God should not be tied in any pastor, any teacher. It should be between you and God, because that pastor and that teacher will fail you at some point. Amen. Over the last 11 and a half years, I am sure I have let more than one of you down or hurt more than one of your feelings in something I've did or said, because I'm human. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I have my own distractions, my own things, right? And so I'm sure I've hurt or let down. But your salvation, thank goodness, isn't based in how good I am. It's based in God. Right? So that's why when ministers fall from grace, we should be praying for them, not lose faith in God. Because my hope wasn't in them to begin with. Right. Paul said, if I fall and I start preaching another gospel, don't stop believing what I taught you. Just cut me off because I started preaching something else. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't forget the what I taught you, the former. Just cut me off and don't listen to the latter. He said, even if an angel came. So, you know, our faith should be in Christ and Christ alone, not in man. Right. All right. And so when we put our faith and trust in man that we allow false doctrine, false things to come in and to divide us. Amen. Right. Because men who are recruiting people to their cause, who are recruiting folks, typically are doing so for nefarious reasons. Right. If you're in a church and someone is trying to recruit you to their cause or their way of view, there's really nothing positive there. What should be happening is the person doing the recruiting should be talking to the pastor. Right. And then if they don't like what the pastor has to say, they leave. Right. Just if you don't like it, you have a problem with it, you don't believe it, move on. Mm-hmm. Don't destroy everything along with it. Don't burn the house down. And unfortunately, they were burning the house down here in these churches in Galatia. And Paul was trying to put out the fire, to get ahead of it, to preserve what had been started. Mm-hmm. Let us stand.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a lost for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.